Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
What happens to our social media accounts after we die? Well, while it not be top of mind when creating a will, in today's digital age, we do leave behind a vast online legacy, and this can create a difficult challenge for our loved ones who may struggle with how to manage and close these accounts after we're gone. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Adrian Weckler, who's technology editor with The Irish and Sunday Independent, and also Susan Murphy, solicitor with makemywill.ie. Good morning to you both. Adrian, I mean, it's not, I think, something that people will think about when you're dealing with the death of a loved one. But eventually you may have to wrap up these social media ends. I mean, who gets ownership of our accounts after death?
In general, there is no ownership per se. So it breaks down in a few different ways. So the big ones are really the social media accounts in Ireland, like Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. They're the biggest ones used in Ireland. Then you have your second order online accounts. These are things like Google and Gmail, but also Apple and iCloud, which is, you know, the key to an awful lot of your online life. And then there's stuff like Microsoft, for example, Outlook, not to mention things like Revolut. So the basic rule of thumb is that for the social media apps, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, they won't give you anything from the accounts. They're not going to give you a password ever to get into the account. The best you can do there is to try and get them to delete the account, or what they call memorialize the account, which most people will have seen, you as the person memorializing their account. It just means that you can, you know, post basic things. You're not really allowed to delete stuff, to access messages, anything like that. After that, it gets a little bit more nuanced. You can get into the likes of Gmail or iCloud or Outlook if you have the right legal documentation. And in some cases, that's right up to a court order. And then it goes on from there.
Mm-hmm. Because in cases where you have an unexplained death, or if someone died by suicide, the information on these accounts becomes critical, not only for the family, for the people left behind, but also for those who are investigating the situation.
It does. And now, in those circumstances, there is some leeway, particularly when it's a younger person involved. I think there is some evidence that that social media companies and tech companies will cooperate in those circumstances, but they do require court orders. So it's not enough to just show a death certificate and legal identification as you, as their, you know, next of kin. In general, to get into the, to get access to the actual content of accounts. And we're also talking about things like WhatsApp here and Messenger. So that's a very common one. If someone passes away, they might have an awful lot of stuff stored in the likes of Gmail or WhatsApp or Messenger. And generally speaking, it's extremely difficult to get into that stuff.
Okay, Susan, to bring you in here and your legal brain on this, is it something that is coming up more often now, do you find, in practice?
It's definitely evolving, Claire. A lot of people don't consider it until the question is raised in a meeting to make the will. But like, people are obviously, when they're in with their solicitor making their will, their main concern is their main considerations are like their, you know, property, financial assets, that kind of thing. So it is only when you I don't think people put much pass on the value behind digital accounts. And like, obviously bank accounts, yes, they would consider them. Although more often than not, when people are giving me a list of where they have bank accounts, they don't even mention Revolut until I say, have you a Revolut account? They say, oh, I forgot about that.
And tell me why that's important, maybe. Because, you know, we mention Revolut as part of this. People might have money in their Revolut account. How difficult is it for those who are left behind to access that money or to do something with the account?
Well, if there's a will there, it's fine, because the will appoint an executor, and the executor would be the legal personal representative then, who has the authority to close off accounts. So things like that will get dealt with during the administration of the estate. Now, when there isn't a will there, then this intestacy rules apply. So it depends on who's the person entitled to take out the administration of the estate and deal with it that way. And also who is the beneficiaries of it. It's all governed under the Succession Act, mm-hmm. Which makes it a little bit more difficult and complicated for the family to actually access things. But with regard to other digital assets, social media accounts, I don't think it's really on people's radar at all. And I know myself and Adrian spoke about this before. It's a relatively new phenomenon, and I think it will evolve in time. But like, if you think about it, like 20 years ago, nobody even
of course. But are you suggesting now that something should be written into wills?
I do think it's something that needs to be addressed. If not even in the will, I think it should be in notes for the executors. But the main thing being passcodes, how to access online accounts, that kind of thing. Obviously, you won't want to share your details with people now. And these days, people are encouraged to change their passwords fairly regularly. But I think you should appoint somebody or nominate somebody that you will allow access, say, even the PIN number to your phone. And maybe like your phone will have like a password manager on it for access to your various social media accounts, online accounts, kind of thing. I think it's important to kind of document it somewhere.
Yeah,
and that will allow your family to deal with these things after you're gone.
Well, Adrian, that might be a way to deal with this. Like, it might just be easier to give someone access to a phone.
Absolutely, that is the shortcut. So, like in my own circumstance, for example, myself and my wife, we have a kind of a system set up where we have a piece of paper and we have a few key things written. And that includes the PIN code to our phone, includes banking details, it includes two or three key online access codes, like, for example, iCloud password, things like that, a Gmail as well. And that could be enormously helpful because once you get into somebody's computer or somebody's phone, that means you're halfway there. To getting the information from the accounts. Now, obviously, a lot of those accounts will have what they call two-factor authentication, which means they send, a to be sure security message to the owner's phone. So it's helpful if you actually have that phone. I'm also conscious that there are security implications for this. Don't go writing out sensitive passwords or banking details and leaving them around the house. Mm-hmm. But it is a very sensible way to go about it. The only other way of doing it is you can actually set up what they call legacy status with some of these companies. Apple, for example, you're allowed to set yourself up as a legacy contact there. You're allowed to set yourself up with some of the other digital services as well. But the most foolproof way is just, you know, to have somebody to have that information somewhere that your next of kin can access.
Go back to the old fashioned way and write it down somewhere and hide it.
Well, yeah, hide it. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like in the case of a family loved one recently, she actually had very helpfully quite a lot of her passwords and her stuff for her own use because she used to forget access to her accounts. But that ended up being enormously helpful for us to expedite affairs, to close accounts, to contact the companies involved. It meant that we didn't have to wait for things like, you know, probate. In some instances, it might have required a court order, which of course is a different thing then again. So it is a very helpful thing to do.
Yeah, and we forget, you know, just how much information we have about all sorts of things, whether it's on your Gmail or, you know, we mentioned the Revolut account and so on. There's just a treasure trove there, really, if you spend 5 minutes thinking about what you have online. So you mentioned memorialising the account there earlier, Adrian, but if you want to get the account shut down after someone dies, that's where it becomes a little more difficult, is it?
Yeah, it does. And the different services vary. Now, on Facebook or Instagram, you can ask for the account to be deleted. They're going to ask you for legal proof. Like, they're going to ask you for a death cert. They're going to ask you for your own identification as well. And in some cases, that you're the legal representative of the deceased of their estate. TikTok, they have much fewer options for that. They tend to just delete the account after 6 months of inactivity. You can do the same for the likes of Google, Gmail. If you give them the death cert and your government issued ID, others such as WhatsApp, there's almost nothing that you can do there. They automatically start deactivating the account if there's nothing happening after 120 days of activity. But generally speaking, the rule is that if you contact them, and most of them have forms on their websites as well, mm-hmm. And they have sections dedicated to this, you will need some proof of the passing of your loved one and also your connection to them.
All right, sounds like another job for us to do. Adrian, thank you very much. Adrian Weckler there, and Susan Murphy, who's a solicitor with makemywill.ie.